It's good to be together and celebrate this baptism today. Those of you who have been baptized, I want you to think back to the day when you were baptized and the commitment you made to Jesus, the zeal you had for the Lord when you were baptized, the peace you had in your heart. I want you to reflect on that. It's like, where are you at today? Do you have that same peace in your heart that you had when you were baptized? Has your love for the Lord grown through the years? There's people here who have probably been the believer for 40, 50, 60 years. Or you may be a new babe in Christ. I just wanted to make mention today, my mom and dad are celebrating their 63rd wedding anniversary. They made their commitment a long time ago. So whether you've made a commitment to the Lord or you're here today and you've never made a commitment, I pray that today, for those who are believers, it would be another day of recommitting your life to Jesus. And if you haven't accepted Jesus into your heart, that you would really think about that today, of walking with Jesus, the peace that Jesus will bring to your heart, the purpose, the joy. There was a story of a reporter who interviewed a kamikaze pilot. That doesn't make sense, does it? World War II, there was kamikaze pilots that gave their life for the cause. In other words, you would get in an airplane with a bomb and you would go down with that airplane to your death. But they interviewed this kamikaze pilot because he survived several missions. And they said, what's the deal? Like, why are you still alive? He said this. He said, I was deeply involved, but not fully committed. Deeply involved in what he was doing, but not committed enough to give his life. You've probably been on a team with someone who has been deeply involved, but you felt they weren't fully committed. That when it got to the crunch time where they had to give everything they had, they gave up or they copped out. My stakes just fell. I thought of Peter, where he told Jesus, I'll go with you to the end. Like, nothing's going to stop me. But when the pressure was on, he was deeply involved at that moment, but not fully committed. Not fully committed to the mission. In John 6, verse 66, it talks about the disciples who followed Jesus, but when he gave this hard message of what it was like to follow him, they left. They were deeply involved, but not fully committed. And then, of course, Judas, the man who was deeply involved. He carried the money, but not fully committed. When the cost becomes too great, they're out. John Ortberg says the following. He said, if you ask someone if they're a Christian, you'll probably get a lot of yeses. But yes, I'm a Christian. But if you ask someone if they're a disciple, you get maybe a blank stare. Are you a disciple? A Christian today is generally meeting the minimum requirements to get to heaven. In our world, that's what it means to be a Christian in some circles. But a disciple of Jesus is one whose ultimate goal is to learn from Jesus. And let me say, there's a lot of books that can help you, but a disciple learns from Jesus how to live like Jesus, so that if Jesus were in your place, that you would respond like Jesus would. That's what a disciple is. 269 times in the Bible, it talks about a disciple, being a disciple, or refers to a disciple. Three times about being a Christian. Jesus never asked anyone to be a Christian, but there's many places it talks about being a disciple, a follower of Jesus. He told us to go make disciples. A disciple is a student, an apprentice. If you do some trades today, you take an apprenticeship, which means you're a student of an expert, of the master, whether it's plumbing or mechanical, or there's a lot of things that you can be an apprentice at, that you have to meet certain requirements before you get certified. You have to follow the master around. So, are you a disciple? Are you a student? Are you a learner? Are you an apprentice? Are you fully committed? Or are you just deeply involved? Which leads me to ask the question, is Jesus just my Savior, or is he my Savior and Lord? What does it mean to have Jesus as your Lord? Well, generally speaking, when you think of a Lord, you think of someone who has authority over or control over of some kind. In Jesus' day, Lord meant to speak to an authority, like the leper recognized Jesus as a teacher and Lord. However, after the resurrection, the word Lord took on a different meaning. It declared Jesus' deity. Thomas explained after the resurrection, he said, "My Lord and my God." And from then on, it took a different meaning for the disciples to call Jesus Lord. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, said, "Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." Not only was he their Savior, he was to be their Lord. Cornelius's house said, "Jesus is Lord of all." So in saying Lord, we're committing ourselves to obeying Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say?" So they were calling him Lord, but were living like he had no difference in their life. So if Jesus is Lord, he owns us, he controls us, he tells us what to do. We look to him for direction, for guidance in our lives. That he's supreme authority over all. Is Jesus your Savior, or is he your Savior and Lord? Are you fully committed, or are you just deeply involved? I have two verses for you as a class today. Proverbs 3:5-6. And there's two things I want to pull out of these verses. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Two things that I want to draw from these verses. We don't trust the Lord because we want to do what we want to do. We want to lean on our own understanding. Or I trust the Lord because I realize he is so much more wiser than I am. I don't want to just lean on my own understanding. The second thing is we get lost or we lose our way because we don't acknowledge him in all we do. Or I don't want to lose my way, so I'm going to acknowledge Jesus in every turn of my life. So those are two things we want to look at this morning from Proverbs. So the first one is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust. We could spend all morning talking about trust, but I just want to boil it down to some simple things. So trust is believing something is true. So there's a platform out there in that pond. You were never on that platform. You're going to trust me, right? That platform's going to hold you. Like, that's a big deal. Like, you can just jump in the pond and it would float away. But no, there's a trust that you have. Trust is a belief in action. Bible says faith comes by hearing. So believing what God has said is true. So you're having trust that God has said what is true, that what God has said is true this morning. You're driving a stake and saying, "Lord, I trust you. I believe what you said in your word is true." It comes by hearing. It comes by reading the word. It comes by the testimony of other people. You've watched your parents. You've watched your friends. You've watched those who have claimed the name of Jesus and have transformed their lives into somebody totally different than what they were. And so you see and you begin to develop a belief system of what is true about God. And you are now experiencing God in your own heart, and what you've accepted Jesus, and you see what he's doing in your heart, how he's changed you from who you were into who you're becoming in Jesus. And that's not going to stop today. It's going to continue to grow, and you'll become more like Jesus as you learn from him and be a disciple and a learner of Jesus. And this trust in the Lord is one that you don't want to be shaken by every little thing that comes along. There's going to be circumstances that come that is going to test your trust in Jesus. Like, is what Jesus said really true? Is it really worth it to follow Jesus? It'll come. There'll be pressures from media, from social media, from all different kinds of things that will be shared, and it may cause you to doubt, but we want you to have a trust in Jesus that will withstand those kind of assaults on your faith. There'll be those who will turn their back on Jesus, maybe your friends. Maybe there's people in our world today, very well-known people, who are turning their back on Jesus. What's that do to your faith and your trust in Jesus? What's that do to our faith and trust in Jesus when those who have been very outspoken about Jesus now turn their back on Jesus? Does it cause us to doubt and question faith? Or do we have a trust in what God said is true and it's rooted and grounded, that we have that anchor? So trust in the Lord. The next phrase is, lean not on your own understanding. So understanding. The Bible tells us not to lean on our own understanding. He's not telling us to be irrational or some kind of weirdo. The Bible talks very highly of understanding. I'm going to read some verses from Proverbs about understanding. It says, incline your heart to understanding. Raise your voice for understanding. Understanding will guard you. Blessed is the one who gets understanding. Wisdom rests in the heart of a man of understanding. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge. To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. To buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So it's not that we're supposed to be ignorant. He wants us to understand, but he says don't lean on our own understanding. So the conclusion of leaning on his understanding, because simply we don't have the full scope of reality. We don't have the whole picture that Jesus does. We have limited knowledge. We have limited wisdom. We have limited perception. And our own understanding was never intended to be our primary guide in life. So don't rely on your own understanding. Make a conscious choice not to be self-reliant or to think that you know it all or have the whole picture. It says lean on him. So you say, self, brain, you know, I don't have enough understanding of my own to follow Jesus and to know what it means to follow Jesus, that I need to lean on him. It doesn't mean that we don't have a plan, that we don't plan. It just means that we don't bank on our plan. It means that we look to him for wisdom and direction. Proverbs 21:31 says, the horse is ready for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. So in the midst of our planning, in the midst of our understanding, we realize that God is in control and that wisdom comes from God, understanding comes from God. And we realize the kingdom values and the kingdom focus, how that changes and shapes our thinking and our values in understanding. I want to look a little bit at the insanity of trusting in our own understanding. Think back to the garden. There's two trees in the garden. One was a tree of life, and one was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Which one did he say you were not supposed to eat of? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. He didn't forbid us from eating from the tree of life. It was just the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, you know what happened. They did eat of that tree. But Jesus didn't prohibit them from that for anyhow. He knew that if they would eat of that tree, they would be saying, in essence, I'm smarter than you. I have more authority than you. I'm wiser than you. I can take care of myself better than Jesus can. You're not a very good father, and so I'm rejecting you. So don't eat from that tree, because when you reject me, you're rejecting all my gifts, my value, my wisdom, and my care for you. But in reality, isn't that what people are doing today? They're still eating of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. People think they're smarter than God, wiser than God. They think they know more than God, that God's not a good father, and they reject him. You know, in order to handle the knowledge of good, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we must have the ability to comprehend all possibilities when we think of understanding and decisions. We must know all wisdom, which we don't. And we have to have the power to make all these realities conform to the decision, and we don't. So in reality, is it irrational to lean on our understanding? Yes, it is, because we don't have the big picture and we don't have the power to control the big picture. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. You know, so many things happen in our lives because we do trust our own understanding and our own wisdom and our own ideas. You think back to the many hard things that have happened in your life that you took upon your own self, and think of the outcome. We love people our own way. We forgive people based on our own terms. We make choices based on our own ideas, and the results are not very good. Because we don't lean on our understanding as believers, because we trust Jesus, we will respond like no one else will respond, because we lean on his understanding. We will love like no one loves, because we lean not on our own understanding. You know, there's times and situations where I don't want to love someone, but that's my own understanding. I had a hard cut telephone call to make this week that I struggled and struggled to make because I was rationalizing it with my own understanding. But I yielded to God's understanding and God's way. And I'm so glad I did. We will have a marriage like no other because we do not lean on our own understanding, our own ideas of marriage, but God's understanding of marriage and relationships. We will be a friend like no others, because we don't lean on our own understanding, but we lean on God's understanding of friendship. And we could go on and on and on, but it's because we don't lean on our own understanding, we lean on God's understanding. The second one is, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So you probably heard, young people and others, from your mother, your father, a preacher, a teacher, In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. This means that they didn't want, and you don't want, and God doesn't want you to go off the path into things that are destructive, things that are unwise, and reap consequences because of your choices. They didn't want you to dishonor the Lord with your choices. So at every turn, at every stop along the way, every decision you make, acknowledge him, acknowledge Jesus. So every choice you make, every conversation you're in, you send a message up to God and say, Lord, what do you have for me in this? What do you want me to say in this moment? We acknowledge him, that he is wanting to work through us in this situation. I broke it into two little sections. One is your personal life. You know, there's a life that we all have sitting here that we can hide from people most of the time. It's our personal life. Our thoughts, our desires, there's attitudes. The Bible says we need to take every thought captive and bring it before the Lord. Acknowledge him with our thoughts and our attitudes. Bring it in subjection to him. Acknowledge him with it. Lord, is this pure? Is this honest? What do you want me to do with this? Acknowledge him in your personal life. And young people, the person that you will be down the road and tomorrow depends on the battle in your personal life, in your inner life. So in all your inner struggles, your thoughts, bring them captive and give them to the Lord. Acknowledge him. Is it pure? Is it honest? And then there's your outside life, your outside life that you have. It's your social life with your friends. It's your vocational life when you get older. It's your life with your family. It's your life with your church. All your conversations, all your actions, who you are becoming, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight. There's a program on the radio called Unshackled. The stories of people who have made poor choices and didn't acknowledge Jesus, and their lives took a wrong turn. There's a lot of heartache and pain. And then they talk about the journey coming back to the Lord. You know, there's so much could be avoided in our stories if at every turn we would acknowledge Jesus, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. So if we trust him, if we renounce self-reliance, and if at every turn we acknowledge him, he will make our path straight. He's going to keep us from wasting our lives and dishonoring him and choosing a path rather than sin but of joy that leads to everlasting life. So my question is this morning, is Jesus your Lord? Are you fully committed, or are you just deeply involved? I believe from the time we declare Jesus as Lord of our life, Satan is trying to move us from fully committed to just deeply involved. And there's a big difference there, because when the chips are down, we run. This morning we have four young people who are declaring that they are a disciple of Jesus Christ, that they are a learner, a follower, that they are fully committed to Jesus. And to signify that, we give them a stake that says the following. It says, today, and this is Jensen's, says, today I, Jensen, declare to the seen and the unseen world that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's a stake they're driving today. So today, I just want to go over this phrase by phrase like I did last year, because it means something to me every year when I do this. You know, as I was preparing these stakes, I sand them, and it takes a while to sand. And I was just thinking about your lives, each one of you, and your commitments to Jesus, and where God's going to take you. Just praying that God will lead you and protect you for his purposes. God's going to do great things through you. You guys got a lot of talent, a lot of energy. I've seen you. I've watched your lives. I'm excited to see what God's going to do. So today, you're choosing. And Paul says, I die daily. So it's a conscious decision every day to follow Jesus, that I will not put myself first, but I will put Jesus first. It's a personal choice, and no one can make that for you. Today I, and put your name in there, Serenity, Tiana, Jensen, Jenna, declare, you know, God has formed you in your mother's womb. God knew this day would happen. He knows your name, and he has a purpose for you. Isn't that exciting that the God of the universe, the God who spoke the world into being, has a purpose for you? So I declare, you're stating boldly to the world that you are a follower. You're proclaiming, you're making it known. You know, in some lands, this choice could mean death. This choice of publicly acknowledging Jesus, it could mean death. To the seen, so all those who are gathered here today or are witnessing, and the unseen. You know, there's an unseen world all around us where Satan and his demons are trying to destroy the works of God. So you're making this declaration to that world as well. They are seeing that today, that you are now a follower of Jesus. You're publicly declaring that. Scripture talks about the battle for the hearts of men. In Daniel 10, it talks about Daniel's prayer was not answered because of the battle in the heavenlies. So we know there's a battle going on for the hearts of men. To the world that I give myself, and no one has forced me, am a disciple to learn from Jesus how to follow Jesus, how to live like Jesus, that he is Lord of my life. I look to him for direction, for wisdom, for understanding. He's my role model. The world has a lot of heroes and role models, but Jesus is our ultimate role model. Of, as you're declaring your choice, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who died for you, the one who gave his life for you, the one who is preparing a home for you, the one who will never leave you, never forsake you. You may have been forsaken by friends, and that hurts. Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. The one who forgave you, and the one who can do for you what no other can do. Jesus Christ. So today, I declare that I, to the seen and the unseen world, that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, the ones who are going to be baptized are going to give a testimony. We'll start with Serenity, and then Tiana, then Jensen and Jenna. And then Karita, she will come up and give her testimony as well. She is doing a member transfer to our church. So, Serenity.
Morning. My name is Serenity Martin. My journey started with Christ when I was 5. I was at vacation Bible school with my friend. One evening, after the Bible story, a leader invited us to become Christians and give our lives to Jesus. I decided to and prayed to Jesus and asked him to forgive my sins. Being so young, I didn't really understand the whole thing. I just did what I was supposed to do. As I grew up, I was just going through the motions. I went to church and prayed at dinner, but I wasn't really a Christian in my heart. As I grew older, I found myself stumbling into sin with the rise of technology. My dad also started to develop heart issues, and I had and had 2 heart attacks. I questioned God. Why was my dad dying? Why me? While Satan was filling my mind with doubt, I wanted less to do with God. I struggled with lying a lot. In the fall of 2016, I started attending Linville Hill Christian School. There I learned how good God is. That summer, I went to a week-long girls' camp. After years of struggling with God, I gave up fighting and gave my life to the Lord. My camp counselor led me to becoming a true Christian. I knew that Satan hated it. He started filling my mind with doubts, and I wondered if I was really saved. I also struggled with temptation. I tried to fight the tempting myself for a long time, but eventually realized that I needed God to help me. One night while I was lying in bed, I begged God for his help and rededicated my life to the Lord. I decided to start wearing a veil, and my amazing parents decided to make a special trip to help me pick one up. Today I'm happy to proclaim to all of you before God that I am a Christian and have decided to be baptized and dedicate my life to the Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ. I would like to thank my parents for supporting me and showing me Christ's love. Dad, you always treated me like your princess. Mom, you always loved me with such an unconditional love that only a mother can give. Thank you, Gabe and Conrad, for protecting me when you weren't tickling me. Thank you to my teachers from Linville. You are the reason that I am the person I am today. You supported me for the past 4 years and continue to support me today. Thank you to Grandma and Grandpa for always loving me and being proud of me no matter what. And thank you to my congregation. You have supported and cared for my family throughout the years. I am forever grateful. I was going through the Psalms this summer from devotions. There's a passage that I really love. It's Psalms 34, 4 through 8. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him from his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I love this passage because throughout my journey with Christ, I cried out to God, and he heard me, and he saved me. Most of all, he has taught me that he is good. I would just like to leave you with that thought. God is good. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tiana Fisher. I've been a Christian when I was 4 years old, and through the past 10 years, I've grown closer to God through my family and people that have impacted my life and through things that I've gone through. A few weeks ago in Bible baptism class, we talked briefly about a verse in John. It says, Jesus did many other things as well. Every one of them were written down. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. I look at this verse as encouragement, that when you feel down, God has and always will be doing little miracles around us. This morning, I was really nervous, and I sat down right there, and there's a little mushroom, and it's growing. I love mushrooms. And it just, I don't know, I got peace. And I just want to say thank you to my parents and my friends for encouraging me.
Hello, my name is Jensen Oweiler. I came to the Lord about August 3rd, and a few weeks ahead, I had been thinking about Christ, and nothing too bad had ever happened before. My cousin had died a few months before, and I was really thinking about it, and then one night, August 3rd, about 11:50 at night, I couldn't fall asleep, and so I pulled my Bible out, and I read one of my favorite verses. It is Ezekiel 36:25-26. 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I really like this verse because it talks about giving you a new heart, and like all my life I've had like a stony heart, and now I'm getting God's taking the stony heart out of my flesh and giving me a heart of flesh.
Hi, my name is Jenna Oweiler. I became a Christian June 11th, 2019 when I was 13 years old. I just want to thank my family and my friends for being such great role models and supporters to me. My favorite verse is Philippians 4:19, which says, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This is one of my favorite verses because what I want isn't always what I need, but I can trust him to give me what I need. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm not exactly sure what kind of a testimony you're supposed to give when you're just becoming a member of a church, but My journey with Jesus started when I was 8 years old, and it has had its ups and downs and bumps in the road. But in the last few years, I've learned a lot about God's grace and love, his faithful pursuit of my heart, and he's been very good to me, even when I haven't always been as faithful as I should have been. 4 years ago today, I moved to Pennsylvania from Los Angeles, California. I came in desperate need of refreshment and healing, and I have found that and continue to find that because of God's faithfulness, despite the bumps in the road, even in that journey too. About a year after moving here, I made the decision to plug into Life Mennonite Fellowship, and I'm very grateful for the friends that I've made here, for the cell groups that have welcomed me and made me feel at home. And I can tell that I feel connected more and more because I don't like to miss church or the special events that happen here. People sometimes ask if I think I'll be in Lancaster for a while. I usually shrug my shoulders and say I found a job that I love and a church that feels like home. Two very important things. Why would I leave? So thank you for welcoming me and allowing me to be a part of your group.
Thank you, Karita. I just want to say you're an inspiration to me, especially on your grief journey. We had some similar journeys, not the same, but I look to you and know it's not been easy, and you've asked the hard questions, and you continue to do that, and so I want to bless you. So I have a question that you can affirm. It says, can you affirm that you have a growing relationship with God? And then after reviewing our covenant, this is what you believe, that you are committed to accountability and responsibility as a member of this congregation. Okay. Thank you. So after the baptism, baptism, Serenity, Tiana, Jensen, and Jenna, and Karita will be standing out either by the pond or under the awning, depends where they want to be. And I'd love for you to come and welcome them to our congregation. So at this time, we're going to proceed to the pond for the baptism. It's going to take a few minutes, maybe 5 to 10-ish, because we have to move the sound system over there. So make your way over there to the pond, and we'll prepare for the baptismal. And we'll conclude the service there. And there will be a meal afterwards, so just make note of that.
Are so proud of you. In living out your commitment to Jesus, you are so beautiful. Your inner beauty radiates and spills out onto every life that you touch. The character qualities you allow God to use through you, you use them so well. And what I did, Serenity, I took your name and I picked out character qualities that I feel like describe you so perfectly. For the S, you're sensitive, strong convictions, stable, supportive. E, you're energizing. You speak life into others. R, you respect and honor authority, God's authority. E, you encourage. You reach out to others selflessly. N, you nurture. You care unselfishly for others. I, you invite others into your circle open-heartedly. T, you're thoughtful. You put others first. Y, yielded to the heart of Father God. Serenity, you are such a joy to us and bring much laughter and free-spiritedness to our family. We love you and stand with you today as you declare Jesus Lord of your life. And the verse I chose for you, Serenity, is this, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I love you, Serenity.
Serenity, do you believe in one true eternal God who is the creator of all things, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came from heaven, died, rose again from the dead, and is the only way to gain eternal life, and in the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who leads, guides us in the Christian life?
I do.
Serenity, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and experienced His forgiveness for your sins?
I do. I did.
Is it your own personal decision and desire to be baptized as a follower of Jesus?
It is.
Are you willing to renounce Satan, the things of this world, and commit yourself to living a life that is pleasing to God as long as you live?
I am.
Question: I baptize you in the name of the Father. Spirit.
Father God, I just commit Serenity to you, and I just ask that you would continue to go before her as you have promised and as you have done. God, I am so grateful and thankful for her testimony and her declaration for you today. I just commit her to you in Jesus' name.
Lord, we stand together with Serenity, launching her into the future as a child of yours. God, she declared you as King of Kings and Lord of her life. And I ask you to use her abundantly in this kingdom, in her, where you have planted her, where you will plant her. I know you have great things for her, and I just pray a blessing on her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Diana, thank you for your commitment to the Lord. We just thank you for your attitude and your love for the Lord, and you make this public commitment. Thank you for being a blessing to your family, your teachers, your friends, your classmates, to everyone you meet. Just thank you. Just last night when you were hanging out with Alasia, Elena, Ariane, and Andreas, just your love for them will never be done unnecessarily. Just continue to love the children and love the people you love. My prayer is that you will always stay true to your love for kids and to those around you and to the Lord. There will be many reasons for you to lose hope, but there's one reason why you shouldn't lose hope. It's the presence of the Almighty God and His blessings with you to tackle any problem whatsoever.
Tiana, do you believe in one true eternal God who is the creator of all things, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came from heaven and He died and He rose from the dead and is the only way to gain eternal life, and in the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who leads and guides us in the Christian life?
I do.
If it's still your desire to be baptized, you may kneel. Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and experienced His forgiveness for your sins? Is it your own personal decision and desire to be baptized as a follower of Jesus?
Yes.
Are you willing to renounce Satan and the things of this world and commit yourself to living a life that is pleasing to God as long as you live?
I am.
It's upon this confession of your faith that I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the and of the Holy Spirit.
Lord, we thank you for the precious gift of baptism and that we can publicly declare our love and passion for you, Lord. We ask for your forgiveness and blessing to be poured on Tiana. We pray that you would work deeply within her heart and soul to renew her and refresh her them every day. Come guide her footsteps. Give Tiana hope and a vision for the future. Today the past is gone. Tiana stands free and whole, loved and forgiven within the kingdom of God. Father, cover and protect her now and encircle her with your promises and fill her heart with joy. May this day be one that she cherishes and remembers forever. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Jesus, I'm just thankful for Tiana's life and her declaration this day in this pond, making a statement to all of us here and to heaven that she is the Lord Jesus. She belongs to you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'd seal this in her heart today, in her mind and her thoughts, and that the life she lives would be her worship of you. What she says, what she does, where she goes would be a reflection of your heart, Jesus, all her days. So I thank you for this promise and this declaration today by Tiana. Just bless her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just like a lot of your children, Jensen seems to be able to excel at most things that he sets his mind to. I see him giving 100% at the tasks that are given to him. Jensen, Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This will take you further than you can ever imagine. This means that when you put your faith completely in him, he will always give you the tools to complete the work successfully. You may not think that you can do it now, or you might think you can do it on your own strength, but God can give you the tools. I can picture our Heavenly Father saying, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased."
Jensen, do you believe in one true eternal God, who is the creator of all things, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came from heaven, he died, he rose from the dead, and is the only way to gain eternal life, and in the Holy Spirit, the comforter, who leads and guides us in the Christian life?
I do.
If it's your desire to be baptized, you may kneel. Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and experienced his forgiveness for your sins?
I have.
Is it your own personal decision, Jensen, and desire to be baptized as a follower of Jesus?
It is.
Are you willing to renounce Satan and the things of this world and commit yourself to living a life that is pleasing to God as long as you live?
I will.
Upon this confession that I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit be poured out.
Good?
Yeah.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for this beautiful world and this wonderful life and the opportunity to make choices. Lord, I just thank you so much for the choice that Jensen has made of his own desire to follow you. I just pray that this desire would never leave, that he would take this vow seriously, and that you would give him the tools to carry out your work. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
God, I thank you for Jensen's life. You made him a man, and you've made him in your image. And I'm just praying, Lord, that the good mind you've given him, the way he thinks, the way he looks at life, would be colored by eternity, and that he would have that in view as he lives life. And I pray that I'm grateful for his choice, and I'm praying, Lord, that you would seal what he's committed to you today in his heart and mind all his days. I thank you so much for what you're going to do through Jensen's life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jenna, the sweetness of your spirit, the kindness towards animals, your eye for decorating and reorganizing your room, your willingness to serve and help others, stick to tasks, do things when you're not asked, the relationships that you have nurtured with friends and with your brothers and sisters, I bless you today with the furthering of your Proverbs 31 qualities. Qualities that will enable you to carry out God's will, especially your gift of mercy. Your kindness challenges me. You are worth far more than rubies. This is my daughter, in whom I am well pleased.
Thanks, Mark. Daughters have a special heart place in our hearts. Jenna, do you believe in one true, eternal God who is the creator of all things, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came from heaven, died, rose from the dead, is the only way to gain eternal life, and in the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who leads and guides us in the Christian life?
I do.
If it's still your desire to be baptized, you may now kneel. Back up a little bit, if you can. Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and experienced his forgiveness for your sins?
Yes.
Jenna, is your own personal decision and desire to be baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Are you willing to renounce Satan and the things of this world and commit yourself to living a life that is pleasing to God as long as you live?
Yes.
Upon this confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
You okay?
Yep.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again for the opportunity we have to be gathered together here in this way today. Thank you for the commitment that Jenna has made. I just pray once again that you would help her to never forget it. Help her to understand that this is the beginning of a journey, not the peak. And I just pray that you would help us all as we support all four of these young people in their journey, that you would keep us faithful and help us to be good examples. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Lord, today we've witnessed a great decisions of these young people to follow you. And decoration to the seen and the unseen world. Lord, I thank you for Jenna and who you've created her to be and who she's becoming in you. Lord, this is just a step along her way of following you with her life, one day at a time, each decision at a time. Lord, I pray a blessing on her life, that you'd use her mightily in your kingdom. Use how you've made her, designed her, the gifts you've given her to reach people for you, which is our way of honoring you, our Savior and our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's sing that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. I think Jared led it already, but we'll just sing a verse of that. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. All right. We're going to have the four people that were baptized in Carita probably stand. Do you know where a good spot is there, Doug? Maybe we'll have them stand along the fence here. Or in the shade. Yeah, we'll put them by the fence here. And there is a meal here for everybody. You're all welcome to stay. And for the meal, you want to go in one of the two doors there, the last door on the left, 10 minutes yet. You want to go in the door, take a left, and then follow the hallway through, and that'll bring you into the line. But it will be about 10 minutes. Thank you all for coming and just supporting this group of young people in their declaration for Jesus. Let's just have a word of prayer. Was there anything else? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this occasion, for just the witness of heaven declaring to eternity and to you, Lord, into the seen and the unseen world that we are followers of Jesus, and being witnesses here, standing with them, we're declaring the same thing. So I ask that you would go with us this day, bless our food as we fellowship together, and thank you for each one that's here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming.